What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hello everyone, it's Adam, and before we get to this episode, I just want to take a quick second to say a huge thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Yes, the beautiful, brave souls who looked at our nonsense and said, you know what? I want to give these guys money. And I mean, who does that? You do, baby. Let's go. So thank you, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Fuck You, Mr. Milchick, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzles, Sea Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. You too can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. Please also be sure to follow us on all of our social medias at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys Podcast on Blue Sky, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, wherever you get your podcasts. Look us up, find us, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. And with that, thank you for your support. You're making terrible decisions and we absolutely love you for it.
After 5 years, the long-awaited sequel to The Eternals that everyone's been waiting for. It's Captain America 4. It's also a sequel to the 20-year-old Hulk movie that everyone hated and that we forgot about in the continuity until now. Now it's important.
Right, that didn't need to continue to be canon. They could have just left it behind somehow, choosing another way.
They somehow left it oblique enough to come back and pretend like they didn't throw that movie aside, but they did. Hey folks, it's me, James. I'm here. I'm back, and with me is Ryan.
I'm Ryan. The way you said I'm back, I don't know. It infers that you're sticking around, but I don't get that vibe.
I'm here for every Captain America movie that they come out with.
Oh, thank God. Well, then I have changed my mind about the movie completely, and I would like more of them. That'd be cool.
This movie is strangely not a sequel to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It kind of borrows characters from that, but both this and that movie are totally unnecessary.
Why would we make this movie, man? That's what I was thinking about. Like, almost throughout all of it was, why are we making this movie? And by the way, there were a lot of people at the theater when I went. Like, I think this movie's going to do better than people gave it credit for up top just because they understood it was going to suck. They were right. But I also think it's going to do better than they think it was going to do.
The Disney Plus TV show Falcon and the Winter Soldier was really like reshot and torn apart and stitched back together in a way that it wasn't really clear what they were originally going for. And it didn't really have like a clear theme to it. And the narrative arc was kind of a jumble. And look, what they did it again. They did it again with this one. They copied the formula.
Yeah, okay, but you can't just say that because it was torn apart because it had an entire storyline about like a viral thing that murders the world. Like the Flag Smashers were going to release something that looked a lot like COVID, and it was as COVID was happening, and then they made the stupid decision to remove the entirety of that plot line. So the bad guys in that show... It didn't make any sense why they were doing anything. They kept trying to justify it. The audience kept going, no, no, thank you. Actually, that's a bad reason for that. This is just a new movie that they could have written anyway, but they chose this way. Why?
Well, there's even going to be, there's a little one of those micro controversies where they had to reshoot or edit around a lot of that in this movie too. And we'll get into it because it's very funny.
Okay.
I was really disappointed by this movie because it's not good, but it's also not bad enough to be very funny. It's mediocre leading towards bad. It's just forgettable pablum.
I'm going to wait till the end. We can talk about the plot of this movie, and I'll wait till the end to do the rant I always do. But, like, it is a power creep issue. That's the the thing I kept thinking about when I was watching this movie is like, how powerful is have a number above your head, like in Dragon Ball Z with the cool visor so that the stupid audience member could know what each one of these super people or specifically non super people's powers levels are, because the power creep issue is just it's completely ruined Marvel, but we can do that after.
Yeah, we're going to now talk about the plot of this movie, such that there was one.
Sure.
If you care about it, it's about to totally be spoiled, so sorry.
Yeah, why are you listening to this podcast? It doesn't make any sense. Okay.
I wasn't really joking when I said that this wasn't a sequel to The Eternals. It's much more a sequel to The Eternals than it is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I was thinking in the movie theater, like, I truly pitied anyone who watched the not-that-good Falcon and the Winter Soldier in preparation for this because they wasted their time.
You're right, 100%, right? Like, one of the main plot points is let's talk about Celestials. Another thing they didn't have to do. They could have just let that die. They could have drowned it in the back and not told anybody, but they decided to put it in this movie as a major plot. The entire second act is spent around the Celestial Island, for God's sake.
Bucky, the Winter Soldier, not in this movie. Baron Zemo, not in this movie. The Flag Smashers, never brought up. The movie starts with a fake news exposition segment where they recap the terrible Hulk movie, which actually began the MCU. But again, as Ryan and I were joking about, has been completely thrown under the bus and forgotten.
If you ask most people where the MCU started, they will say Iron Man, and they would be wrong.
They would be right in a actual sense, but not in a technical sense.
Right, not in a technical sense. That's what we're really focusing in on, oddly enough.
Then we get into the action. Terrorists are trying to sell an evil canister. And so as a diversion, they're attacking a church. Who are the bad guys? The infamous international terrorist organization, the Serpents, led by Hector from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I mean, Giancarlo Esposito is sort of just now the generic bad guy. I like him in The Boys. I think his Boys character is, like, not generic and actually fun. But after being Gus Fring, it does feel like he's getting sort of typecasted. You know, he's just playing the same character over and over again. And I think it was boring and weird in this movie. And the Serpents are, that sure is a lot like Hydra. Other ideas, just have other ideas.
The character Joaquin Torres from Falcon and the Winter Soldier is here. He's the new Falcon, although Captain America is still a Falcon. So there's just two flying guys now.
Sort of two flying Falcons. Hey, I don't care about the Falcon at all. Like, zero. When he talks, he has two modes. Number one, soap opera, which is the one that I honestly prefer. And then number two is, like, 90s chill sidekick. You're trying to save the MCU. You're hoping the Falcon's what gets you out of it. Bad news, everybody.
I kind of liked Torres when he wasn't being annoying, which is about half the movie. But half the movie he spends, like, doing, again, like a John Leguizamo, like, I'm an annoying asshole impression. Do you like that?
But John Leguizamo does it better. I love John Leguizamo.
Joaquin Falcon gets the canister while Captain America saves the hostages at the church. He has a Captain America-style fight with a random heavy. And I liked this guy because he just, like, he seems like he hates America, but, like, in a really vague way.
Right.
I would put that star next to the other ones I collected.
Yeah, I didn't understand this man's motivation, but I'll be honest, I was rooting for him.
Anyway, that situation resolves the way you would expect. We start the main story. Sleepy Harrison Ford, who grumbles his way through the whole movie with very little expression. We start the movie and he's, like, burying his wife. And he's like, oh, my wife's dead. That stinks.
I'm really sad about it. And my daughter won't talk to me. And I'm playing Harrison Ford.
Yeah, his daughter, Liv Tyler, is still mad about the Hulk movie being bad.
Sure. Well, I think she's probably mad about, like, what the character's atrocities were in said movie, which were many. But yes, secondarily, that she had to sit through the movie at the premiere probably and be like, this is longer than I thought it was going to be, huh? Can we go?
Cut to Sam introducing Torres to his old friend Isaiah Bradley from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and they go to do CrossFit together. If you don't remember that show, Isaiah is a super soldier from the Korean War who America mistreated and then covered up and lied about, but then Sam is helping him get his legacy back.
Mm-hmm. Like an actually good storyline from Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
But again, that plot line is not advanced or built upon. It's merely just, like, borrowed for this thing they're doing from the Hulk.
Right. At the end of the day, it's like you just needed a character to fake or real assassinate the president, and you chose him like you picked him out of a hat.
Sam explains that he has been invited to President Ross's inauguration, and Isaiah Bradley's like, you shouldn't go because it's a tacit endorsement of his policies, and it reminds one of all the has-beens that went to Trump's inauguration last month. There's a lot of stilted dialogue here, expository dialogue, like, don't you know what he did to the Hulk? Of course I know what he did to the Hulk. Or remember how he put me in jail in Captain America 3 almost 10 real years ago, but also longer in our fictional timeline?
Yeah, I mean, it was, they have to do entire movies in two sentences, because now they're assuming that everyone hasn't watched everything, which they, by the way, didn't have to do towards the end of the phase two, and it was much better for it because we didn't waste time having one character be like, and by the way, just for context, here's the short plot of two movies.
That was a good point. Thank you for that, Ryan, my friend with whom I used to do the Westworld podcast with many years ago.
Sure. I appreciate that.
Anyway, in the end, they all decide to go to Ross's inauguration together, which does kind of like tacitly endorse him, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, obviously.
On the ride to D.C., they're in a stretch limo. They're acting kind of like a bachelorette party on their way to Vegas. They're doing a lot of like chopping it up like old buds style dialogue, which sound extremely improvised.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep thinking about this scene. In fact, it's the scene I remember the most from watching the movie. And it's because as it was happening, I had gone into the movie with pretty low expectations, but like those low expectations were being superseded in the first 10 or 15. It wasn't awful. It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. And then it got to the limo scene, and it was so unbelievably bad that I was like, do we just leave? Like, I don't know. It sort of feels like it's going to be this from now on, and I don't want that, please.
That was like a reshoot scene that they couldn't get the director for.
Right.
Like, just sit in the limo and just, yeah, you're having a great time. Just do whatever.
You talking. You're talking. Now, yeah, keep talking. What do you, hold up a drink. Yeah, perfect. Do that for 10 minutes.
Sam gives the canister back to President Indiana Jones, and he says that actually he likes superheroes now because of this, and they should make a brand new Avengers team.
Yeah.
And Sam is skeptical because he's like, well, I thought that you're a supervillain that hates heroes. And Thunderbolt Ross is like, I'm turning over a new leaf to show my daughter I'm a good guy now, how good I am.
Mm-hmm. His speech was, I'm different now. And Sam was like, I don't trust you. And Harrison Ford was like, come on.
It was a pretty pleasant conversation, really. Although the conversation was totally fine, they used a lot of spooky music cues and Dutch angles to let us know that President Ross is up to something.
This is not on the up and up exactly.
The president holds a TED talk in the White House. He holds a TED talk in the White House explaining that the big monster from the end of the Eternals, which turned to stone anyway, it's pure unobtainium, and now the Na'vi are really going to get it.
To be fair, you're making fun of it for being the MacGuffin, but Marvel and MCU have their MacGuffin movies. They always have been. The stones and the gauntlet and the shield and the hammer. And now it is adamantium, which, as we all might recall, Wolverine is made out of. It just feels like a bridge movie for so many other things. Like they're laying groundwork for nine other things while forgetting to actually do a movie that's good.
If you really liked the plot of Star Wars Episode One with all like the trade deal, international space trade deal bureaucracy, you're really going to like Captain America 4 and its long, meandering international mining operation negotiations, which permeate the entire story and are the crux of the entire conflict.
Not to mention that this is a world with space wizards, so a bunch of human beings having a fight about a metal is just, I don't know, somehow it comes off as not very interesting.
The TED Talk sucks. In my opinion, he was bombing. Basically, he's saying, like, we should harvest it in a cooperative way and share the resources. Like, this could have been an email.
Also, he could have just winked at everybody. or he should have. So people were like, oh, is he being serious? I don't know. You know, you shouldn't have assumed he was going to be serious or was not lying to you the moment you walked in there. Why did we all have to come to Washington?
Isaiah Bradley, very rude, is checking his phone, and then even worse, stands up during the presentation.
Very rude.
And to make matters worse, he then takes out a gun from a Secret Service man's holster and tries to kill the president. Well, the two other guys try to do the same thing. So a lot of people must have been having that thought at the same time. Like, this presentation sucks.
That would be better and obviously funnier than what it was, which is phone-based mind control.
Yeah, so like you look at your phone and it flashes at you in Morse code, like using the Porygon episode of Pokemon, and you have like an epileptic seizure and then you kill the president.
Yeah.
So the Winter Soldier had been like programmed, you know, like, oh, if I get this certain string, I'll do this very specific thing. It's like, well, here, flashing lights, golden oldies music, kill the president.
Yeah, the soundtrack from WALL-E is playing while a thing that happened in Zoolander 20 years ago is happening. And I would argue Zoolander did it better. So it's in the computer.
Obey my dog. Sam has to stop Isaiah from killing Harrison Ford while also protecting him from being killed by the authorities. It's a lot like in The Winter Soldier.
What happens in The Winter Soldier?
Because Steve does the same thing with Bucky.
Oh, man. Do you think they just forgot?
No, I think that they are paying home age.
Oh.
Eventually, Isaiah gets arrested. And so Sam goes to talk about it with the president, who's understandably miffed. They're trying to talk it out, but the president's like little cop lackey. I never understood exactly what her role is. Ruth, who's like a real naysayer and is like anti-Sam for some reason, is like being a real jerk about it and gets Sam thrown out of the situation room, basically.
I don't remember what that little lady's name was, but I remember that she's a Black Widow kind of thing. And she went to the same place the Black Widow people went. And she's very small, which I think is the crux of her character. Is she's small karate. Out of all the useless characters in this movie, she was not the most useless. Honestly, I enjoyed every time small karate was on screen.
Ryan is correct that in a 2-second blink and you'll miss it ADR explanation, we get that she is actually an ex-Black Widow. Same as Black Widow and Black Widow's sister, Black Widow.
Right.
This is where the reshoots have come in. That is not this character's original backstory.
Oh.
This character was originally the Captain Israel character, Sabra. But for obvious reasons, Disney wisely backed away from that idea.
Oh, this is a thing I'm learning right now. Even if it was that, and even if that wasn't problematic, I just don't think that storyline being better would have made the movie. I would have gotten to the end and be like, you know what? It was fine.
What's very funny is that what was supposed to happen was there was supposed to be an unveil of Captain Israel somewhere in this movie, and they don't do it, obviously. And so instead, this character's like very awkwardly situated in the movie. She's the president's best friend. Like, she is the Elon Musk role of like his presidency right now.
Sure.
She doesn't have an official title. She's just there talking shit.
It could be something that Harrison Ford is saying, but he's just so busy. He's very emotionally complicated. He has a daughter that doesn't talk to him. He needs someone next to him to do the screaming.
Sam goes to visit Isaiah Bradley in jail, and they talk through the prison house glass. There's some clumsy ADR lines in this scene, too, where like Sam is delivering an impassioned plea to Isaiah, but what we see is his motionless head, the back of his head not moving at all, which is not how it would look if he was saying what he was saying. Really bad editing.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of ADR in this movie. If I am ever watching a movie and I realize it's happening like the third or fourth time within a 10-minute time span, that's bad. That's really bad.
They go through the evidence. They talk about the phone mind control shit that Ryan and I already explained. On the way home, Sam gets ambushed by Hector from Breaking Bad. And this was like the one actually decent scene. It reminded me a lot of one of the action scenes that takes place in a parking lot in No Country for Old Men.
There was a firefight, is the thing I was thinking. I sort of hoped, like, actively, when Gus Fring threw that grenade into Sam's car, I was a part of me being like, oh, maybe he's dead. That'd be cool.
We get a lot more of, like, the political side of this story, which is, like, all those scenes are death.
Yeah.
At the White House, the president is getting pushed around and bullied by the leaders of France and New Delhi about the Adamantium Island situation. Essentially, they disagree with the terms of a resource extraction treaty. Is this doing it for you, people?
No.
And this is just very silly to think about. France and New Delhi are two relatively, like, not powerful nations that are totally enthralled to the American political hegemony. And this situation is just not realistic, that they would be pushing around the president of the United States. Sorry.
And past that, extrapolate that out all the way. We're fighting about metals in the middle of the ocean. There are space wizards, everybody. They're going to blow us up no matter whether we get the metal or not.
God is real.
Yeah, it just feels as though not one person's like, guys, can we just realize we're the ants and chill?
The other countries will not move, bizarrely, without Japan's approval. Again, Japan, which is more or less politically the little brother of America at this point. But shit is about to pop off. Japan is pissed about this, and they're ready to, again, go to war with their token national defense force, which is completely armed and paid for by America.
Maybe there's an alternate reality in the MCU where militaristically America is bad. Who knows?
Well, I think there are some countries that they could have maybe chosen who are actual rivals to America that may have actually impeded America in this situation realistically. But those countries have really large movie theater going populations that we don't want to offend.
That's correct. That's a lot of the money that the movie makes. And this is the MCU, baby. We got to print it.
Ruth goes to interview the shooters, not Isaiah Bradley, the two other shooters who have so little screen time that, I forgot that was a plot point, that there were multiple shooters.
Yeah, they killed them off, to be fair.
They get the phone call of death, too, that Samara from the ring calls them, and they kill themselves as well.
Oops.
So then we have a scene where, again, the president of the United States, like a whipped dog, has to fly to Japan and appear before the prime minister of Japan and beg him to enter this mining accord, and the president of Japan tells him to fuck off back to America.
I think he just should have pulled the emotional card and been like, listen, you gotta be on my side and get on in this accord and get this treaty signed. My daughter won't talk to me, and I don't want her to. And if I get this treaty signed, she will.
Right. President Miyamoto, do you have a daughter that you used to look at the cherry blossoms with? You must know what I mean. That's literally how he got elected. At the debates, he's like, listen, people, I need this. Liv Tyler won't call me back.
It's just a crowd of murmurs like, all right, that makes sense. We got to give it to him.
The real bad guy calls up the president, and it turns out they have history.
Yeah,
this is the guy behind all the assassination attempts. And now he's out for revenge.
This is Samuel Stearns, played by Tim Blake Nelson, who's awesome. And he's playing a character called Leader, but I don't think they reference him as the actual character, which is upsetting because anyone who's like played Marvel Snap in the last 2 years, it's a card that got nerfed and buffed a million times. So it's a character that I knew well, and I wanted to be really great and just like say his name, acknowledge who it is. But it feels like they didn't lean into it very far, which is a bummer because he was sort of one of the best parts of the movie.
Cowards. They didn't have the guts to call him the leader even once. And he was doing a lot of leading.
He did. He was one of the best parts of the movie, and his character absolutely sucks. So
yeah, they break into a military base where they find Timothy Blake Nelson's character, the leader.
Nice.
And he looks exactly like the big-brained Soyjack meme character.
To be fair, that's sort of what leader looks like. And if you had called him that, maybe everybody would know.
He says that he has been used by President Ross, whose life he saved with super medicine. And President Ross was supposed to let him out of super jail, and he never did, although he seems to be pretty okay now. But in any case, now he's out for revenge, and he has a legion of mind-controlled soldiers who try to shoot at Captain America and Falcon, but they escape.
Yeah, his motivation is fine, right? Like, it's that he was supposed to be let out of jail, but then wasn't.
Yeah, that's like the one understandable thing about the plot.
Yeah, like I get that. He's pretty mad about it. He was just forced to be a brain in a lab for a long period of time. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy.
Back at the White House, the president's staff is badgering him endlessly to resolve this situation. They're even saying that Japan is going to declare war on the United States, which is an extremely absurd premise.
Yeah.
This sets him off, and he gets angry, and he smashes the table, and there's cracks on the table. Whoa. Which might have been foreshadowing to something if they hadn't given it away in the trailer.
Right.
This movie desperately needed another bad guy in it because they blew the tension on Red Hulk immediately, and Breaking Bad ain't doing it for me.
Right. Well, that's the point, right? He was supposed to be the secondary bad. Although the Red Hulk is the actual problem. Again, they ruined it in the trailer because they weren't going to have anybody go watch it unless they thought they were going to see more Red Hulk, which is the point, I guess. But it being ruined makes it markedly worse to watch.
Sam goes back to DC and confronts Thunderbolt Ross about his connections to the leader. Ross claims that he only used him to save his own life because he didn't want to die without Liv Tyler finally forgiving him.
Right.
Go to therapy, Thunderbolt Ross. You became president to resolve your family issues. Go to family therapy.
Or become the president of the United States. Column A, column B. Tough call.
The situation with the magic space rock island comes to a head, and it seems like Pearl Harbor is going to be reenacted when the leader mind controls an American pilot. Again, like, did he have his phone on him?
He was watching TikTok.
He gets mind controlled and he almost starts a war, but Sam and the Falcon save the day. But the Falcon is grievously injured, like always happens at the end of Act 2.
Robin also, if Batman and Robin gets hurt at the end of Act 2, a lot of sidekicks do.
Sam goes to the hospital to visit Torres, and who does he see but Bucky, and he's wearing a nice suit.
If you saw this, obviously, in the theater, then you see the Thunderbolts trailer prior. So I assume chronologically, Thunderbolts is going to be, is it after or before Brave New World? Do you know the answer to that?
If they don't put Red Hulk in that one, people are going to be really pissed. I mean, no one's going
to
see it.
No, it's going to flop like crazy. Although, to be fair, again, I thought that of Captain America and it's not exactly flopping. So who knows?
President Ross is not able to say that there's a supervillain causing all of this crazy mayhem because that would reveal his connections to him. And so it just kind of makes it seem like he's a shitty, bumbling president. But I just want to say, in the logic of that story, Thunderbolt Ross really didn't do anything wrong within the timeline of this film. Yeah, I guess he used the leader, which was wrong, after the events of Hulk. But his whole story of being like, and then I became president to do good things and win over my daughter, is apparently true. He was never evil. The Dutch angles and the music stings were all a mislead, and he wanted to do good from the beginning.
I mean, yeah, mislead-ish. Even with all of that, those noises are supposed to be like, oh, is he going to be the Hulk? He might be the Hulk, because he's also, all that stuff's true, but he's also a Hulk.
It's really weird. It's like the dramatic irony of this story is whether or not Ross is in on the fact that we know he's the Hulk, and he knows he's the, but then that's the twist, is that he's not the villain, and he didn't even know he was the Red Hulk. The trailer made us think that he Red Hulked himself, but that's the twist.
Again, the movie would have been a lot better if I hadn't known that going in.
Throughout the film, his health has been deteriorating. Again, like, if you didn't see the trailer, maybe you think like, oh, he's dying. But no, he's been hulking out almost. And now the leader confronts Sam and he monologues about how this has all just been his Baroque revenge plot to ruin Thunderbolt Ross only from the Hulk movie. This is a lot to do with that bad Hulk movie. I hope everybody saw it.
We skipped a scene that I have to cover very quickly where a soldier friend is about to call Sam and give him news, and the leader kills him with a radio while wearing a hoodie. It was so bad for the leader, this monologuing guy, to walk up with like a hand radio and murder somebody. God, that was terrible.
There's a really awkward scene where President Ross calls Liv Tyler, and I wondered if it was really her voice or a sound alike or AI, but I guess it probably was really her. She shows up later in the movie, and he's like, "Hey, baby, crazy stuff in the news, huh? I know we haven't talked since I tried to kill Ed Norton. Would you like to go look at the cherry blossoms with me?" And she says yes, but they don't make concrete plans.
I would like one movie where they're like, "I'll see you there. I'll probably be there around 6:30. The train will take about 45. Do you want me to send..."
Oh, I thought you meant tomorrow.
No. I meant today. I'll send you a calendar invite and I'll see you there. Probably 6:45. Give it 15 cushion. But I'll see you there at the top. Thank you.
Ross transforms into the Red Hulk because he's getting too many gotcha questions at a press junket. And the Secret Service completely do a 180 on what their job is supposed to be, and they all just start trying to kill him. The president's turned into a monster, and he's just standing there a little bit menacingly, and then let's kill his ass. Everybody waste him.
But there's also been, like, on national television in this world, people shooting rockets at Green Hulk and shooting Green Hulk with guns, and it's never worked, and everyone's seen it on the TV. So why are we trying? I don't know. Like, you think your bullet, yours is the one that's going to do it? All right, give it a go.
That's an excellent point. And everyone in this universe should know by now, because he's a famous celebrity, that, like, the Hulk is powered by anger.
You feel like there would have been a VH1 Behind the Music of the Avengers at some point where they're like, he changes because he gets angry.
Don't shoot him.
He's always angry. It's a thing he says all the time.
So they have the big fight scene. It's okay. It is not anywhere close to the best Hulk fight scene. It's one of the better Falcon fight scenes, I guess. But the tension at this point was really pulled out, because it's like, well, we know Sam's going to live. And as Ryan mentioned, we saw the trailer for a movie called Thunderbolts. So I think both these characters are probably going to live. The leader's already, like, in the back of a paddy wagon. It wasn't that tense is what I'm getting at.
Sure. No, yeah, I think you nailed that vibe.
So he beats him down, and then he does the sun's getting real low thing, and he's like, "Look, it's the cherry blossoms. What would Liv Tyler think if she was here?" And he turns back into 80-year-old Harrison Ford without his shirt on, and that was cruel of them to do that. They should have given him a CGI body.
Aerosmith in the background. It was majestic.
That's the end of the climax. The falling action happens very quickly. Sam goes to resolve things with every member of the cast. He gets Isaiah out of jail. He goes to visit Ross at the raft. Liv Tyler actually cameos. I didn't think they could get her, but she showed up.
Yeah, they were just begging her. 2 hours, Liv. I swear to God, the lights will be set up when you get there.
But what he never does is ever see Ruth again for the rest of the movie. And they have a scene where he sees Isaiah a second time and has a second resolution with him outside of Torres's hospital bed. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with Ruth after this. She was too busy to see Torres or be in this scene. That's cool. I guess we'll probably never see her again in continuity.
No, she's gone. You know, they've brought back old things they didn't have to before. They did a lot of it in this movie, actually. So who knows?
With all the reshoots they were doing, I mean, I guess Captain Israel must have been a really important character for them. Like, do they have big plans for the Sharon Carter character? Could she not have been used in this movie instead?
Just feels like such an easy win. Do that.
The last scene of the movie, Torres and Sam have a heartfelt conversation. The pressures of living up to the high standards that we set for ourselves. In one of the real bottom 10 after credit scenes, Sam goes to see the leader, and the leader darkly intones that soon the heroes may even have to fight themselves, which is something we've seen many times, and Sam himself has experienced multiple times.
Are they talking about Secret Wars, or are they talking about...
The multiverse saga.
The multiverse, yeah, I don't care.
This movie was very mediocre. I at least thought that it was carried on Anthony Mackie's charisma. If you like Anthony Mackie, maybe you could feel that way too. To me, the movie felt extremely hacked apart and stitched back together, more so than any other MCU movie, which a lot of them have had that problem. This was the worst offender. It was, in the same way, just as bad as Falcon of the Winter Soldier was, where, like, you watch parts of it and you're like, okay, so maybe that was part of the original plot. Okay, but this scene definitely wasn't. And that's the only thing I was thinking about.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So all I was thinking about was this is a weirdly boring movie. And I love action movies. And I wanted to not be bored, but I was.
That was Captain America 4, everybody. It was a real letdown. What was your favorite part of the movie, Ryan?
When the limo scene was over. No, if I'm being honest, my favorite part was like, oh, cool, Red Hulk. That was cool. Wish this fight was better.
The fight scene was quite short, and it was not... I mean, the best parts of the fight scene were blown in the trailer. I think everybody kind of probably guessed that going in.
Sam sucks, because Sam has now vibranium wings, without which he would have died multiple times in this movie. And he's supposed to fight Dr. Doom? Why? How? It baffles me how we're going to do this and then put Spider-Man, Wolverine, even Deadpool next to Sam. Like, for the leader to be the weakest one is going to be weird.
If I was Anthony Mackie, I would be demanding, like, I'm not starring in another feature anything unless the script that I agree to is at least like 50% what ends up on screen.
50%? I thought you were going to just say the script that we get is what's on screen, but you negotiated yourself down in the same sentence.
Anyway, join us here in 10 years for Captain America 5, which will surely stitch up all the loose threads left hanging in Thor Love and Thunder.
Right. I mean, it has a lot of Ragnarok in it. You got to watch both. Also, oddly, Ant-Man 2.
You will not have to have watched this movie
No. To
get Captain America 5. That will, in fact, it will probably just confuse you.
Right. There was nothing that happened in this movie that is going to require an expository sentence in a future movie.
No, we can't talk to Thunderbolt Ross. He's on the raft, remember?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.